The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
I heard the Lord say, focus, focus. You see, there is someone in this meeting. You didn't really come here for church or so. You came to see somebody. You came to see someone. So you just, the reason you are here is because you want to see someone. Yeah? The Lord say, focus. Don't get distracted. There is a package for you. Yeah, there's a package for you. And God will deliver that package to you. Just stay focused, says the Lord. Stay focused. Stay focused. Stay focused. Stay focused. Stay focused, says the Lord. Stay focused. Pay your attention to here. So what is happening? Get your eyes on your Bible. Get your eyes on your Bible. Get your eyes on your Bible. Get your mind fixed on the Lord. For Ekora Pareko Karaba Veka Shiratoya. For that which you've asked the Lord many years now, many months now, and you've even stopped praying about it, it will be opened up today. And the Lord, by revelation, will deliver those things to you. And this service is going to bring about answers. Answers to the questions in the heart of man. Then furthermore, it will bring about restoration. 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 And then revelational knowledge that will bring outbursts of joy will be found in this meeting, even in this morning. Thank you, Father, for the move of the Spirit in our midst. In Jesus' name, glory to God. Hallelujah. Say something beautiful to your neighbor this morning. Hug the person. Give a warm smile. God bless you. Be seated. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. In the spirit, by the spirit. Hallelujah. So we'll start this journey today. It's an adventure. It's a journey we are going to make this morning on the things of the spirit. Hallelujah. Glabo varatish. So, well, I've been sensing strongly the teaching anointing. Okay. And that's strange because that's not what I wanted to do, but then I'm going to just flow with it. Hallelujah. I believe the Lord will have us lay foundation. Today, very solid foundation. If you are here and you have interest in flowing in spiritual things, healing the sick, raising the dead, either you want to get started or you want to get stronger, you want to get better, this month is your month. You know, you observe that. I was going through Facebook recently. March last year, I thought, School of the Spirit. Yeah, March last year, School of the Spirit. Last 2 years, Life in the Sun. Last 3 years, School of the Spirit. School of the Spirit too. Something like that. Amen? Yeah. So I think there's something about March and the Spirit. And I traced back to even 2000 and, before we started here in 2018, right? When I was still pastoring at Abani. I set up on School of the Spirit in the month of March. So, I don't know. That's a very powerful coincidence. I believe it is not. Amen? So, I'm going to help you get started with spiritual things today. John chapter 3 verse 1. Are you ready for the word of God? Do you have some energy? So, I'll be teaching, but I need it to be alive. So, John chapter 3 verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Now, some of you, the things you're going to hear this morning, they're going to shake you up a little bit. You'll be wondering, some of them are things you've not heard before, or things you've never heard anybody say, the way I'm going to say them. Okay, but then that's why one of the ways to come to Platform of Grace is while you come, once you get to the door, you drop religion at the door. Amen? You drop your religion, drop your religious spirit, and drop your preconceived notions at the door, then you walk in. So there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, okay? The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know, I'm coming to this verse shortly, but not today. We know that thou art a teacher, come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. So, in other words, Nicodemus is saying there is a proof when God is with you. When God is with you, there will be miracles. Hallelujah. Well, not for today. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see. So Jesus was telling us about how to see the kingdom of God. How to see the kingdom of God. And he said how to see the kingdom of God is by being born again. Now, what is the kingdom of God? Well, someone is going to think, say, well, he's talking about heaven. That's why I said you should be ready to hear God's word this morning. Amen. He said, what is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom? And what does it mean to see the kingdom of God? In Luke chapter 17, we'll come back to John 3, because I'm going to teach a step from 3 this morning. In Luke 17 verse 21, Jesus was talking about the kingdom. Okay. He says, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is where? Within you. So the kingdom of God is not a place. There is no place called the kingdom of God. Please pay attention. Amen. Now, don't hear what I didn't say. Now, there is no place. When Jesus talks about the kingdom, he's not referring to a place. Jesus said that kingdom is not, he said, they will not say it is here or it is there. Put up another translation of this. They will not say lo here or lo there. It is within you. Right? Put up like NLT or something. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is, said, you won't be able to say, here it is, or it's over there. But the kingdom of God, then I said, is already among you. So it's not a place. What about another one, like Amplified or anyone? It's not a place. No, when people say, look, here it is, or see, it is there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you, in your hearts, and among you, surrounding you. So he wasn't referring to a place. It was referring to something, an influence in the lives of men. Romans 14 verse 17. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. So what is the kingdom? He said, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So again, the kingdom is not a place. And it's not meat. And it's not drink. It is righteousness. It is peace. It is joy in the Holy Ghost. So he's talking about, so if at all there is any location where the kingdom of God is found, that location is in the Holy Ghost. Are you following me? And it's talking about, so when there is righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, that's the kingdom. That's the kingdom. Jesus will put it this way, it is within you. Paul will say it is righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So when we do righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, or when righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost is living inside of us, what does that mean? It means the kingdom of God is within us. Amen? So the kingdom of God refers to an influence. It's more of an experience than it is a place. Do you follow? Do you follow? Now, so that you don't think we're talking about heaven there. Okay? I'm not saying there's no heaven. I'm just saying, when Bible talks about the kingdom of God, it's referring to not a place. It's referring to an influence. So the kingdom of God is within you. So Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see, what will he not see? He will not see righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Do you follow? Except a man be born again, he will not see righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So being born again brings you in the Holy Ghost, brings you and makes it possible for you to see righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So go back to that. So that's to be born again. You know, I've heard people say things like that. The Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So they say things like, being born again helps you see the kingdom. But then something else makes you enter the kingdom. That's a very terrible thing to say. Very interesting. Go back to John 3, please. John 3 verse 3. So he cannot see the kingdom of God. So in verse 4, Nicodemus asks Jesus a question. He says, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So, please pay attention. Nicodemus was asking for an explanation to the word born again. Is that clear?
He was asking, explain what it means to be born again to me. So whatever Jesus is going to answer would be an attempt to explain what it means to be born again. Is that correct? So Jesus will not be saying something different in verse 5. Whatever he will say in verse 5 will be an explanation to the term born again. So in verse 5, Jesus began to answer Nicodemus. Quickly. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born and of the Spirit, he cannot. So what does Jesus mean by being born of water and the Spirit? Being born again. So is being born of water and the Spirit different from being born again? Is it? Come on, are you still in church? Because what he was doing in verse 5 is explaining what he said in verse 3. So, let me ask another way. Seeing the kingdom and entering the kingdom, are they two different things? Do you follow? Because in verse 3 he said, if you are born again, you will see the kingdom. Nicodemus said, explain further. He said, if you are born of water and the Spirit, you will enter the kingdom. So he's talking about the same thing. So go back to verse 5. So what does it mean to be born of water and the Spirit? Well, some people say being born of water is baptism in water or by water. Being born of the Spirit is baptism by the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Ghost or of the Holy Ghost. Whoever believes that? Okay. Who still believes that? Right? So let's see. Glory to God. Do you love the word of God? So he said, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit. Now, I've explained to you, but I'm going to say it again, and then I'll use different translations to bring it home. So that the word and, of course, is the Greek word, K-A-I. K-A-I. It actually means, in fact, in this verse, it's used not as a conjunction, it's used as emphasis. So, it's not water and the Spirit. The point is, the word kai was used as and in English. It was used as, it can be used as and, as conjunction, it can be used for emphasis. So you just use context to find out what exactly it is being used for in a particular verse. So, but in this verse, and I will show you shortly, that it's not talking about two different things. It's not saying there are two different things. Number one, be born of water. Then, secondly, be born of the Spirit. There are not two different experiences. If not, being born again will have two steps. Remember what he was answering was, what does it mean to be born again? Do you follow? Now, so how do you know this? But before I get to that, put up like amplified of this verse. Everybody please watch. So that word and there is not talking about, it's not talking about two different things. It's talking about same thing. Look at it. Jesus answered, I assure you most solemnly, I tell you. Jesus is interesting. I assure you. Most solemnly, I tell you, unless a man is born of water and, what does amplified explain the word and as? Even the Spirit. So what he was saying is, being born of water is being born. So what Jesus told Nicodemus is, except a man be born of water, which is the Spirit. Amen? So to be born again is to be born of water. To be born of water is to be born of the Spirit. So to be born again is to be born of the Spirit. Let me take it a step further. John chapter 7 verse 38. So if you read further in the book of John, you know, Jesus will refer to water again. Remember, the Bible was not written in chapters and verses. Some of you know this. The Bible was written as a full book. The whole book of John was not written. There was no chapter 1, chapter 2. So when the writer of John was writing, he never expected that you were going to read chapter 3 one day. He expected that you would pick the document and go through it. Do you understand me? So go to just chapter 7. Verse 38. Now, look with me, everybody. Come on, come on, let me hear you. Want you to go? He that believed on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow. Well, I'm not going to explain this verse today. We'll come to it later. But out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of? Now, verse 39. But this spake he of the Spirit. So what did he mean by living water? The Spirit. Do you follow? So does it agree with what we studied in John 3 right now?
Does it?
So when Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. What he was saying to Nicodemus is, except a man be born of the Spirit. So when he said, be born of water and the Spirit, what he's saying is, be born of water. What I mean is, be born of the Spirit. So to be born again is to be born of water. To be born again is to be born of the Spirit. It's not baptism by water. Amen? He said, so you don't believe in baptism. I didn't say that. I'm just teaching. When we get to that one, I will show you. I have a teaching on our baptism in Christ. Yeah, it's on the site. I'm going to get it and get everything I said about baptism by water and all that. Amen? Now, being born of water, being born of the Spirit, is the same thing as being born again. So, if you are born again, because I'm coming to John 3, we'll go through from verse 6 shortly. But then, verse 5 said, except a man is born again, he said, unless a man is born of water, which is the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. Now, so, to be born again is to be born of the Spirit. So, every man that is already born again is already born of the Spirit. So, being born again is not a different experience from being born of the Spirit. It's not like, after I am now born again, I will now do, come, Holy Ghost come, and I will now be born of the Spirit. No. The day I was getting born again, what actually happened is that I was being born of the Spirit at that point. To be born of the Spirit means the Spirit gave birth to you. Amen? To be born again is to be born of the Spirit. So, let me bring it down. So, when we say, have you received the Holy Ghost? What we are actually asking, please pay attention. What we are actually asking in essence is, are you born again? Who's following? In fact, when we say, are you baptized in the Holy Ghost? People think what that means is to speak in tongues. But by the main definition of the word baptism, to baptize means to immerse. Amen? So, have you been immersed in the Holy Ghost? Yes. When did that happen? It happened at salvation. So, the day you get born again is the day you receive the Holy Ghost. Let me show you. Go back to that John 7 that we read. Start from maybe 38 again. Let's call it again. From 38. Amen. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly. So, what is the qualification for rivers of living water? He that believeth on me. So, believing qualifies you automatically for rivers of living water. Look at verse 39. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should. So, what is the qualification for receiving the Spirit? Come on, are you see here? So, is it, okay, Galatians 3. Let me show you this. Verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians. Amen? Oh, foolish Galatians. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you? See, I'm trying to explain to you what it means to receive the Holy Ghost. Now, see verse 2. Pay attention. See verse 2. This only will I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing. So I was asking a question. But put up NLT of this verse 2. Put up NLT. Hallelujah. Now let's look at everybody. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? What did he answer? Of course not. Uh-huh. You received the Spirit because you believe the message you heard about Christ. So how do you receive the Holy Ghost? When you believe the message of the gospel, you've received the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I'm going to explain to you where tongues come in. Because that's what we want to do this with tongues, interpretation, prophecy. But then, once you are born again, to be born again is to receive the Holy Ghost. Say, I have the Holy Ghost. Say, I have the Holy Ghost. Let me say this further. To say that you are born again
but that you don't have the Holy Ghost yet is to say they are not born again. 1 John 4:13. To say that you're born again and you don't have the Holy Ghost, as I'm saved, but I don't have the Holy Spirit, is to say I am not even born again at all. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. So the proof that God is living in you is the Holy Ghost. So to be born again is to, for God to live in you, right? The proof that that God, so when you say, well, I don't have the Holy Ghost yet, you are saying I'm not yet born again. And if you are born again, you already have the Holy Ghost. You've received it. Now, it doesn't matter whether you speak in tongues or not. Well, it matters whether you speak in tongues, I mean, but then, that's not what determines whether I have the Holy Ghost or not. I'll still explain to you what speaking in tongues is, and how, where it comes in. Because it's just like, when you say a believer who doesn't speak in tongues, he's not a believer who doesn't have the Holy Ghost. He's a believer who has the Holy Ghost. Possibly doesn't know he has the Holy Ghost. I have refused to walk or to use what he has. Are you following me? So you have 10 million naira in your bank account. But for some reason, maybe because you don't know it is there, or because you don't know how to use ATM card. Amen? For some reason, you are still broke. So let's assume this is wrong. This is totally wrong, okay? But let's assume the Holy Ghost is 10 million naira. It is totally. So, but let's use money to extend it. So if it's 10 million naira, what I'm saying is that the moment you get born again, that 10 million naira is automatically created into your account. Whether you now begin to use it or not, as per tongues, healing, is another different case. At that point you got born again, you receive the Holy Ghost. Now look at Romans 8 verse 8. I'm going to go into all these scriptures later, but let's just have touches here and there. Romans 8 verse 8. Glory to God. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Continue, I'm coming to this teaching, this verse shortly. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Now, look at where I want to focus. If so, the Holy Ghost dwelling in you. Now look at the verse B. Ready to get everybody? Now, if any man, come on, don't leave that place. Be in verse 9. Let's go again. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And so, if you say, I don't have the Spirit of God, you are saying, I don't belong to Jesus. Amen? So, if you are saying, I belong to Jesus, what are you saying? Ooh, glory to God. So, do you have the Holy Ghost? Do you have the Holy Ghost? Now, sit down for a moment. So, this is where spiritual flow, because I'm going to touch that while I'm closing. This is where it starts from. Because people want to flow in the Holy Ghost. And then, when you want to lay hands on them, they lift their hands, and what they're expecting is to receive a certain thing they've never had before. If that's where you are coming from, you always struggle. Amen? Jesus said, I will give you another comforter, and he will stay with you forever. That comforter is given to you once you get born again. And he said he will stay with you for how long? Forever. So when people say things like, take not your Holy Spirit from me, what are they asking for? Let me not backslide. Or let me not lose my salvation. That's what it means. When you say the Holy Ghost left me, you're saying I lost my salvation. Come on. You are saying what? I lost my salvation. And so if Jesus said, I will give you the comforter and he will stay with you forever. In other words, he will never, 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 never go. It means you will never, never lose your salvation. Do you get it? Because the presence, am I running ahead of myself? Okay, stop. Let's take this journey easy. Amen. So the moment you get, the Holy Ghost is there. His presence is the proof. Let me show you something. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. verse 22. I will touch on these scriptures later. Second Corinthians 1 verse 22. Who had also sealed us. So, and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So he has sealed us. That word sealed there is the Greek word sphragizo. It means, by addition, it means to stamp with a signet ring or private mark for security or preservation. Okay, put up another translation. Maybe I'm speaking too much grammar. NLT, please. What is wrong? NLT. It says, he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit. So the day you got born again, you became God's child. God said, let me mark all my children so that I will know them and everybody will know them. Amen? So how did he do that? He puts the Holy Ghost there. So the Holy Ghost is a mark, a proof, a mark of identification that you're a child of God. So when you say, I don't have the Holy Ghost, you are saying, I'm not born again. Hallelujah. Even let me say this to you. When rapture will take place, you want to hear this? When rapture will take place, what is going to happen? The people that will be raptured are the people that have the Holy Ghost in them. Because it is that Holy Ghost, when Jesus now wants to take his people, he will locate every heart he has put the Holy Ghost. And if the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, if he dwells in you, he will quicken your mortal. That's how rapture will take place. The Holy Ghost will now steer from within and change you from inside out, and then we move. Do you get it? So, if you say, I don't have the Holy Ghost, you're saying I'm not born again. Jesus said, I want to identify all my children. So he began to mark them. Just like a man that has plenty kids. He wants to put a mark of identification on all of them. So whenever you see somebody like this, that person is born again. That mark is for identification, is for preservation. Satan knows you are born again. How does he know? The Holy Ghost is inside of you. He knows. So when you say, I don't have the Holy Ghost. You know, by the time I'm done teaching today, because next week we begin to touch experiences, tongues and all that. But you understand why we insist that it is actually easy and possible for everybody to speak in tongues, for everybody to heal the sick. The reason is because every believer already has the Holy Ghost. Do you get? So it is easy. Because it's not like you're about to do something you've never had. You are about to use something you already have. Look at this verse again. Go back to NLT again. Look at it again. We're going to complete the reading later. And he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts. So before we get to the second part, that was a mark of identification. He has marked you. Say, I'm marked. So if you say, I'm not born again, well, you are saying I don't have the Holy Ghost. If you say I don't have the Holy Ghost, you're saying I'm born again. So the real baptism of the Holy Ghost is to be born again. Hallelujah. That's true. The real baptism, the real thing that immerses you in the Holy Ghost. Do you know? I just explained rapture to you now. If you are saying that once you are not, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, okay, if saying that every believer doesn't have the Holy Ghost, rather, you are saying that every believer will not be raptured. Because it's the Holy Ghost that will quicken every believer. Don't you get it? So once you are born again, you already have the Holy Ghost. You already have the Holy Ghost. Now what happens, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 15. What happens is, you now get born again, Holy Ghost lives in you. But it is beyond living. Let me explain to you what happens really with the Holy Ghost. He said, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? What did he say? God forbid. Okay? Quickly. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, said he, shall become one. But he that is joined unto the Lord is
one spirit.
One One spirit. Are you following? It's one spirit.
And so when you get born again, what happens is your spirit and the Holy Ghost gets joined together. It's not the kind of joining of husband and wife, two shall become one. Because I can be here and my wife is not here. Don't you get it? I can be here and my wife will travel. But what the journey is talking about here is, it's union, a fusion, right? He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Now he continues. He explains it a step further. Verse 18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without a body. But he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. Verse 19. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is? So, what does it mean by you are now one with the Holy Ghost? It means the Holy Ghost is now living in you.
Do you understand me?
So, the believer and the Holy Ghost are one. They live in each other. You know, there's a song we used to sing. I have a wonderful treasure. You know it? The gift of God without measure. We will travel together. My Bible. Do you have your Bible? Do you have your Bible? Well, there is a version of that song we don't sing enough. Amen? I have a wonderful treasure, the Spirit of God without measure. We are always together, the Spirit and I. We don't travel together. We are always together. I can't leave him on the journey. Let's do it. I have a wonderful, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God without. We are always together. We are always together. The Spirit and I. Hallelujah. Whosoever is joined to the Lord has become one. You know, I always explain this thing to you. You know, if you go down now and get water from that tank there, and then you go to another tank around Mayo, and you bring water, and you get both of them, it's water, because, and you pour the both of them into one gallon, and I tell you, separate the water you got from this tank, and one you got from the other tank. You can't do that. There's no separation technique that can do that. Are you getting me? The both of them have become one. You cannot be separated from the Spirit of Christ. There has been a union. Don't you get it? The day you got born again, your spirit and the Holy Ghost became one. Became one. So, he that is joined to the Lord, you know, yesterday I was just going over this in my head, and the Holy Ghost said, read verse 19 again. He said, no, you know that your body is not the Holy Ghost. He said, which is in you. So, he said, don't you realize the Holy Ghost, that is God, lives in you. Wow. So, you know, he asked, he said, why do you think there is an innumerable company of angels around you? He said, what do you think happens if you get to Aso Rock? Security is guarding the place because the president is, that is the president's house. This is God's house. So there are angels guarding this house because of the person that lives inside the house. I get the point. How many angels do we have? Around me, not just because of me, the one inside. We have these treasures in earthen vessels. The treasure is the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost lives here. The Holy Ghost lives here. The Holy Ghost lives here. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Woo! Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost lives here. So angels are there. Because this is God's house. You begin to trespass around Aso Rock. At your own expense. Do you understand? You can't come close. No, many of you don't like President Buhari. But you can do nothing about it. Where he lives is also rock. And there is an innumerable company of soldiers who are backing him. They don't like him, because nothing about it. You see, that's why, Abraham, maybe I will touch last Sunday again. That's why when you walk, you are carrying God. If you know how the president, the car that carries the president is guarded. That is how guarded you are. There are angels watching because you carry the Holy Ghost. You carry the Holy Ghost. He's being guarded. He's being guarded. Don't touch this one. Don't tamper with this one. Don't mess with this one. The Holy Ghost is in this one. Are you getting the point? The Holy Ghost lives here. This is God's house. This is God's house. This is God's house. This is the Lord. This is the house of God. I am the house of God. I am the house of God. This is God's habitation. This is God's palace. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I am one with the Holy Ghost. I am one with the Holy Ghost. Jesus lives here. Hallelujah. Glory. Ha 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 ha. Woo! Ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. Woo! The Holy Ghost lives here. So, sit for a moment. So, at every time. Now, go back to John 3. Let's go back to where we started from, right? We are on a journey. So John 3 verse 5. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We've explained what that means. Now, verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. What he's saying is, when your mother gives birth to you, you're a human being. But that which is born of the Spirit. So it is not just that when you get born again, the Holy Ghost came to live in you. You became he that gave birth to you. You became spirit. You understand me? So you are a spirit. A spirit that is holy. So you are not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is only one. But you are a spirit that is holy. Who is following me? He that is born of the flesh is flesh. You know, this is why when it comes to doing spiritual things, if you see the ease. You know, this morning I was just going over it in my head. People were talking about dimensions, realms, portals that you have to break into. And I was going over this and I'm wondering, what other portal? What other dimension? What other realm do I need to get into? I am already in the spirit. The Holy Ghost already lives in me. I'm already spirit itself. So where else do I need to get to? You reason now. He that is born of the flesh is flesh. He that is born of the spirit is spirit. Verse 7 now tells us, the wind bloweth wherever it listeth. Now, this blessed week, remember this weekend. Come on. Verse 7. The wind. Okay, but go to verse 7 before we get to verse 8. Verse 7. He says, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be. Do you see? He still tells them that what he has been explaining all the while is being born again. Are you getting me? So that which is born of the flesh being called flesh, and that which is born of the spirit being called spirit, being born of the spirit is being born again. So he explains to them. Verse 18, I said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. But you can't tell where it is coming from. You can't tell where it is going. So is everyone that is born of the spirit. I'll come to this teaching later. You see, we are just that unpredictable. You don't know where the wind is starting from. You see, the world can never understand me. Sometimes they don't understand the peace of God that all understanding that is in me. Just that you can't get the wind. Sometimes they don't understand the joy. Why are they dancing? What is funny? Who is tickling them? They won't understand it. Why is that girl so calm in the midst of so much tribulation? Hallelujah. Ha ha ha. So there is no money. Instead of this one to be shouting, this one is talking. I lack no good thing. How on earth will you believe that you can talk and money will come? The wind bloweth where it listeth. No one knows where it's coming from. No one knows where it's going to. So is a man, but they don't understand how we are. How do you form? They don't get it. So, we are spirit. So, go back to Romans 8 verse 8. He said, then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So, if you are in the flesh, you cannot please God. Amen? We will say, yes, yes, yes. But look at verse 9. He said, but you are not in the flesh. Now, he didn't tell the believer, don't ever be in the flesh. He's saying the believer is not in the flesh. I'm just telling you that you see, the Holy Ghost lives in you, and you are in him. There's a union. It's not about being, about tongues. Tongues is so important, and we'll touch it. But you must get the basic. You are not in the flesh, you are in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you, he now said, well, in case, before you say, maybe he doesn't dwell in me, he now said, if you say you don't have him, you don't belong to Christ. He had to warn you. Before he starts saying, well, it is if. Probably like NLT. Mano na venosh. You are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit, if you have the Spirit. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. At all. So if we begin to say, well, all of us don't have the Spirit, we are saying all of us are not born again. So if you're already born again, you have the Spirit. You are in the Spirit. So what's the location of the Holy Ghost? Where is the Holy Ghost located? Where is the Holy Ghost located? Okay. So what's the location of the believer? In the Holy Ghost. So God lives in me, and I live in him. The Spirit is in me, and I am in the Spirit. It's how do you explain that? Well, that's what we call union. It's these two things. So when we get that water from this tank here, and we get water from Mayo, put them in the same buckets. The water from Mayo is inside the water from the tank, and the water from the tank is inside the water, inseparable. That's the Holy Ghost. But that's why you even begin to notice that when people say things like, I lost the Holy Ghost, it's a very funny statement to make. You can't lose the Holy Ghost. So the Spirit of God is in me. Now, okay, let me see if I can teach further. I feel like praying. But amen. So the Spirit of God that lives in us, okay, what does he do? I'll show you like two scriptures. John 16 verse 7. So the first thing the Holy Ghost does in us is that he convicts us of the truth of God's word. That's the first thing. Now, he said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Continue. Now, look at what the Comforter will do when he comes. When he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Now, what does this mean? Look. Of sin, because... Go back to verse 8. Put up like NLT. In case... So you understand what the Holy Ghost does. When he comes, he will convict the world of his sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. Now see verse, next verse. The worst sin is that it refuses. So what is the work of the Holy Ghost on unbelievers?
while you are preaching to them, he's convicting them to believe in Jesus. Do you understand? So when he says it convicts the world of sin, that's not talking about you. It's talking about the world, because the sin of the world is that they do not believe. So as I go, that should even encourage you. As we go reaching out, evangelizing, the Holy Ghost is working in the hearts of people you are talking to, convicting them of sin. The worst sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Now see the next verse. What does the Holy Ghost do? Remember, he said it will convict the world of three things. Number one is what? Sin. Number two, righteousness. Number three, judgment. Right? Right? Now, so he has to explain the sin. He said the sin you convict the world on is you don't believe in me. Now, verse 10, he will convict us of righteousness. He now said righteousness is available because I go to the Father. So, there is righteousness that is made available to the saints when Jesus ascends to the place of the Father, like he has done. So, who will he convict of righteousness? You. So, what is the work of the Holy Ghost? To convict the believer that he is righteous because Jesus has gone to the Father. What does that mean? Because Jesus has risen from the dead and he sits at the right hand of the Father, you are now righteous. That's what the Holy Ghost does in you. The truth of the scriptures. You understand me? That's why I normally tell people, the voice of condemnation you hear in your head is not the Holy Ghost. It's not the Holy Ghost. It's the devil. Amen? The voice telling you will perish and you will go to hell. Where you are not an unbeliever. It's not believer that the Holy Ghost will be telling you, you need to believe in Jesus, if not you go to hell. Do you understand the point? For the believer, what he convicts us of is righteousness, which is available because he has gone to the Father. Verse 11, he tells us further, the things he convicts the world of, convicts us of judgment, because the prince of the world is, so who is the prince of this world? He's talking about there, he's talking about Satan. So because Satan is judged, so when he says he will convict the world, convict us of judgment, it's not that we will be judged. He will convince us and convict our hearts of the fact that Satan has been judged. What that means is that we will not have authority over him. Did you get it? So of sin, he will convict the world of unbelief. He will move them to believe in Christ. Of righteousness, he will convict us of the fact that we are now righteous in Christ because Jesus has come to the Father. Of judgment, he will convict us of the fact that, see guys, Satan has been judged. You now have authority over him. Do you understand? So he convicts us of the truth of the word of God. That's the first thing he does. You see, that's why, when, as you are teaching like this, the Spirit of God is working in the hearts of men. As you open your Bible to study, the Holy Ghost is working in the hearts of men. Working in your hearts. That's why normally when you want to study the Bible, pray. Trust the Holy Ghost. He's the only one that can explain this Bible to you. Amen? We can read all we can. A professor can get this book and read it from Genesis to Revelation and he's still a novice. Many people that are professors of theology are empty when it comes to Bible. You understand? Because you can read it. But when it comes to, because it takes the Holy Ghost. And what plants the conviction of righteousness in our hearts is the Holy Ghost. So when you see a believer still living in guilt, he needs the Holy Ghost. You should allow the Holy Ghost to walk in him. When the Holy Ghost begins to walk in and begins to teach him, he will convict him of righteousness found in Christ Jesus. And convict him of judgment of the prince of this world. And of his authority. I take it a step further. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 10. So he brings us into the truth of God's word. That's what the Holy Ghost does. He said, for God has revealed them to us. Start from verse 9. As it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. How many of us love this scripture? We normally quote it. He said, my turn is coming. I has not seen what God prepared for me. Amen. Your turn is shall come. But that's not what this verse is saying. After he said that, he now got to verse 10 and said, but God has revealed them. So that in which I had not seen, God has revealed them to us. So I has actually seen. So what is he actually talking about? He's talking about the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, they've not seen what God has prepared for us. But now, because the Spirit has come, God has revealed them to us. What has he revealed to us? The things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard. Who is following? God has revealed them to us by the Spirit.
For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. See verse 11. You will see what I have not seen. So go back to verse 10. Let's establish some things. So I had not seen, ear has not heard what God has prepared for us, but God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. Yeah. So what does He call the things that I have not seen in this verse? He calls them the deep things of God. Is that correct? But remember, God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. Now see verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Verse 12. Let's just get everybody. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. So what are the things that the Spirit has revealed to us? The things freely given to us by God. So what are the things that I had not seen and ear have not heard? The things freely given to us. So what are the deep things of God? The things freely given to us. Righteousness, sanctification, holiness, power, the anointing, the Holy Ghost. So the things that are given to us freely, that it is that I had not seen previously, that are the deep things of God. But now the Holy Ghost has revealed them to us. Come on. So the things that I have not seen, is not talking about vision. It's talking about the deep things of God. And the deep things of God are not things that sound mysterious. When you put and transcend into the realms of the divine, and you begin to climb into the seven systems of the supernatural realm. You see, you like this. At that time, somebody is standing up doing like this. He doesn't understand what you are saying. He just likes the heavy thing he sounded. That's not the deep things of God. The deep things of God are the things that are freely given to us of God. Righteousness is deep. Forgiveness is deep. That are the deep things of God. I love the Holy Ghost. And thank God for Him. He is the one that has revealed. So put up like NLT of this verse. We have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. So what does the Holy Ghost do? He keeps showing you the things God has given us. He has given us His power for free. His righteousness. His forgiveness. His joy. His peace. His love. Freely given. So the Holy Ghost keeps showing us these things. Amplified said, He said, now we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God, given to us that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessing so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God. This is what the Holy Ghost does. So he begins to show you, like as I'm teaching now, and you are realizing, for instance, how many of you know that our sins are forgiven? Do you know? And that was given to you freely. The Holy Ghost helps us realize it. Hallelujah. So that's the first thing. The next thing the Holy Ghost does, I'll just talk about three and we close. The next thing the Holy Ghost does is that, you know, thank you, Father. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 22. The Bible calls Him the earnest. 2 Corinthians 1:22, the earnest, who has also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. I've explained this before. That word earnest, the earnest of the Spirit, the earnest of the Spirit, the earnest of the Spirit. That word earnest is the Greek word arabon. Do you remember? Arabon. You understand it when I'm done explaining. We'll use other translations, but let me just use the Greek to explain this shortly before we close. Arabon. That word arabon is actually that word Arabon in the Greek is a direct transliteration from the Hebrew. In other words, in the Hebrew, the word is still called Arabon. They borrowed the word from Hebrew language. You understand the point? Now, that word Arabon talks about a pledge. It talks about a pledge. So it means I'm promising you something. And you say, okay, give me something that will convince me that you will do what you're promising.
That's what Arabon means. That's what earnest means. I'm loving this.
So, give me something that will prove to me that you give me this. There's an example in the Old Testament. I don't know if you have time to look at it. Genesis 38, verse 14. So, you see where Arabon played out. Everybody pay attention. So, bless your Sunday morning and your entire week.
So, Tamar was aware that Shelah had grown up. So, look at Tamar. Let me not give you the full background. She was hot. There was a promise made to her and they didn't keep it. Now, she was a... Come on. Do with NLT. It's fine. She was aware, of course, that Shelah had grown up, but no arrangement had been made for her to come and marry him. So, she changed out of her widowhood and covered herself with a veil to disguise herself. Then she sat beside the road at the entrance to the village of Enaim, which is on the road to Timnah. Continue very quickly. Judah noticed her. So she disguised as a prostitute. The person that had wronged her was Judah. So she wanted to do something to get her team. Forget it. It's a long story. I can't read it. Judah noticed her and thought she was a prostitute since she had covered her face. Okay? Come on. So he stopped and propositioned her. Wow. Let me have sex with you. He said, I'm reading Bible below, so. Let me have sex with you. He said. Not realizing that she was his own daughter-in-law. That was daughter-in-law. How much will you pay me to have sex with me? Tamar asked. Okay. Now, see where Arabon comes in. He said, I'll send you a young goat from my flock. So Judah is saying, I don't have cash here. But I want to do it. So, yes, I'll send you a goat later. Now, Tamar now said, what will you give me to guarantee that you will send the goat? What she was asking for was a pledge, an Arabon. Give me something that will guarantee, that will make me believe that there is no way you will not send this goat. What kind of guarantee do you want? He replied. She answered, leave me your identification seal and this cord and the walking stick you are carrying. If you know what these things mean to the Hebrew man, that was too much. It's just like saying, give me your international passport, give me your BSc certificate, give me your car key. To prove that you will bring goods. So Judah, of course, you know, sex is a very bad. Judah gave. Judah agreed, though. Not for today. Singles Connect is coming, though. One of the most powerful drives that there is sexual drive. How can you be that stupid? Not for today. Just because of God, he said, give me this. That's why once it comes upon a man, he's not thinking again. He said, give me your car key. Give me your international passport. Give me your BS certificate. He said, take, I promise. Well, so he gave everything. Now, notice, these things he gave her are not the gift. Those things are a proof that he will bring the gift. So, how Arabon is used in the Hebrew is, I give you something of more value than what I promised you. Something of more value than what I promised you to convince you that there is no way I will not give you that thing I promised you. Do you understand? Now go back to 2 Corinthians 1 verse 22. In our case, the Holy Ghost is our Arabon. God gave him to us to convince us. Now, 2 Corinthians 1 22 is the earnest. Something given to convince you that there is no way God will not give you what he's asking. Oh, Jesus. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 22. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, it is given as a proof to convince that God will give you. Come on, open your Bible, please, guys. 2 Corinthians 1 22. To convince you that there is no way God will not give you what he has promised you. So, there is a promise And there is a pledge that God has made to us. So listen, verse 22 with King James. He said, who had also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. And given the Araban of the Spirit. Or given the Spirit as an Araban in our hearts. Do you follow? Look at NLT. NLT said, he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything he has promised us. So NLT, try to explain it. The first installment. So he said, I'm going to give you something. What was he promising? I'll still show you. He was promising, I will come back and redeem your body. I will come back for you. Well, to prove to you that I will come back for you, that I will come back and redeem your body, right? I'm going to give you an Araban. Something that is very valuable. So that whenever you see that thing in you, you will be so sure that there is no way I will not come for your body. Do you follow? Let me show you a scripture. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1. This is getting more interesting. Because we're winding down already. With NLT. Are you guys ready now? Media. Okay. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1. Amen. Put up NLT. You should be bearing with these media people sometimes. Just sometimes go meet them, ask them, what do you guys need in the department? They will tell you. Amen. For we know. Now, you see where Araban comes in. You want to see this? For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hand. Continue. We grow weary in our present bodies and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. We long. For we will put on heavenly bodies. How many of us know we put on heavenly bodies? We will not be spirits without bodies. So we'll put on bodies when we get to heaven. Continue. I don't want to say something. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. Now see verse 5. God himself has prepared us for this. And as a guarantee, that there is no way he will not come for you, he has given us his Holy Spirit. That's an Araban. Just like God saying, see, I will come and pick you after now. You go to heaven. God said, you say, so God, how am I sure you are going to do it? He said, well, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. So that you will never doubt that I'm coming for you. That's why when people doubt whether they're going to heaven or not, it's a very crazy thing to think. God has given you something to guarantee. See, if you are born again, once I give you this thing now, you just imagine, I normally give the example, imagine I came to eat your restaurant. And I finish eating, I don't have money to pay, and I ate 700 naira food. Towel and all that. Do you understand? And I say, I don't have money. You say, pay. He said, I'm going to give you, I'll come back and pay you tomorrow. He said, how am I sure you're coming back? He said, I'll give you my iPhone. He said, okay, sir. I'll give you my iPhone. I'll give you my car key. Do you understand? And I'll give you maybe my landed property, the document, to prove to you that I'm coming back tomorrow to pay you 700 naira. Imagine, after collecting that, you now ask me, are you sure you are coming? How good am I? Are you mad? Do you think I will leave these things for you? So when a believer says, how am I sure I'm going to make heaven? There is an Araban. There is, God has put something inside of you to remind you every day. Do you know what it means that rapture took place and you didn't go? It means God has left the Holy Spirit on earth. You don't get it. Can never happen. Take it from me and take it to the bank. Amen. Glory to God. I have the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost there is there to convict us of God's word. Then he's there to stand as a guarantee that everything God has promised us about our eternal redemption, that he's going to bring it to come to pass. That's the Holy Ghost. Then finally for today,
The Holy Ghost, because this is what I'm going to start from next week. The next thing he does, 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to profit without. It's given to every man. So the next thing the Holy Ghost does in us is that he is there and now empowers us to flow in his gifts. So the reason we can flow, we can pray in tongues, we can prophesy, we can interpret it, is because we already have the Holy Ghost. I'll pick up from here next week. Because we already have the Holy Ghost, we can flow. We are full of him. Remember, we are full of him. We are born of him. Remember, we are one with him. Remember, this is the reason why we can now flow in the things of the Spirit. So when I say you can pray in tongues, don't say, are you sure? You're already full of him. You are born of him. Everything that he has is working in you. You are one with him. So when I say you can flow in the Spirit, I'm saying you can do what the Spirit can do. You can manifest in the abilities of the Spirit. And that is possible because that Spirit is already dwelling in you. So, can I speak in tongues? Why can I speak in tongues? Because the Holy Ghost, the fullness of him, is living in me. It's healing for every believer. Can every believer lay hands on the sick and they get healed? Why? Because the Spirit of healing already dwells in every believer. Who? Can every believer prophesy? Why can every believer prophesy? Because the Spirit of prophecy, or the Spirit that brings and bears prophecy, already dwells in every believer. Can we all interpret tongues? Why can we all interpret tongues? Because the Spirit that makes for interpretation of tongues already dwells in you. Can we all walk miracles? Why can we all walk miracles? Because the manifestation of the Spirit has been given to every man, and I'm part of every man. So he gives us the manifestation. He enables us to flow in these things. Can I raise the dead? Can I open blind eyes? Can I see visions? Can I hear from God? Why can I do all of this? Because I am born of the Spirit. Because I am full of the Holy Ghost. Because I am one with the Holy Ghost. So it changes everything. So when we now say, do you pray in tongues? You say no. We now lay hands on you. You open your mouth. Because what can make men pray in tongues is already living inside of you. It now begins to flow. When it's time to heal the sick, as I stretch your hand and heal the sick, you say, this hand, this unholy hands. This is God's house, remember? This is God's house, remember? So when you're stretching for the hand, it is Jesus. It's the Holy Ghost. Do you understand me? We'll see a lot of practice in this session. Indeed, not today. So don't miss church. So somebody say, somebody wrote me a testimony from one of our centers. Not one of our centers. I felt a lot of testimonies like that. Okay. This was last week. She just wrote me. One of our online people. She's not even in any center yet. They are just PG Connect. They follow online. I will celebrate you guys. Amen. So she told me of how they went to evangelism and then met this girl that had partial blindness. She doesn't see well with her eyes. She said, sir, we were still praying. We were still trying to pray. She now told us that she can see. Sir, I was not telling her, don't stop deceiving me. Tell me the truth. The girl said, I can see. She called me 2 days ago, yesterday. She said that we even visited her today just to confirm again. And sir, she can see. She said, I went home and started crying. You get the point? It's the Holy Ghost. Why is that possible? How can we just put our hands on a blind person and the person can see? Are you getting the point? You know, last Sunday we held service here. You know, we saw, when I was ministering here on Sunday, in every of our centers, people were going down under the anointing. All our centers. A particular lady in one of our centers had, of course, she gave testimony in church. I can mention the center. Our Bakiliki Center. She had pile.
right themselves. Remember I talked about prayer last Sunday? And even though I said that the power of God came upon her, she went down, went to the toilet, she's totally free. How are we able to do these things? How are we able to do these things? How are we able to sit down in Enugu and we are talking? And right there in Lagos, as far as Lagos, I got this only so as far as Lagos. How are we able to do these things? Say, man, this man of God is anointed. He's the Holy Ghost because we are full of him, because he lives in us. The manifestation has been given to every man, and you are part of that person. Well, next Sunday we'll continue. Stand to your feet. I have a wonderful treasure, the Spirit of God without measure. We are always together. God's Spirit. Anna, let's sing it again like 2 times, then we'll pray.
I have wonderful treasure.
The Spirit of God.
The Spirit of God without measure.
Sing it like you know it.
We are always together. The Spirit and
I have a wonderful treasure. Come and sing it.
I have a wonderful treasure.
Glory to God. I have the Holy Ghost. You know, that's something to shout about. It's something to shout about. It's something to rejoice about. The song we did when we were starting says that we have something more than gold. The Spirit of God is more than gold. And in the course of this service, you realize it is not just more than gold. It can produce gold. And we call it the working of miracles. I have the Holy Ghost. I'm sealed. Woo! God has identified me as his own. He put the Holy Ghost in me. I can never go to hell. He can never reject me. There is a mark of the Holy Ghost. Woo! I'm saved. I'm sealed. I'm marked. I'm saved. I'm sealed. I'm marked. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I have the Holy Ghost. I have the Holy Ghost. I have the Holy Ghost. This is God's house. God lives here. God lives here. He said, greater is he. He said, say, you have called little children and you have overcome the world. He said, for greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There is someone living in me. There is someone living in me. There is someone living in me. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. For this cause did Jesus leave his father in heaven and came to the world and was joined to me, and we have become one spirit. Hallelujah. And one spirit with God. And one spirit with God. He that is born of flesh is flesh. He that is born of spirit, in spirit. Good morning, spirit. People never ever say, good morning, spirit. Come on. Good morning, spirit. Glory to God. Say, I'm spirit. I'm born of the spirit. He that is born of goat is goat. He that is born of sheep
is sheep. He that is born of cow, that's understandable. He that is born of flesh is flesh. But he that is born of the Spirit. Hello, Spirit. Hi, Spirit. Hi, Spirit. Glory to God. Hey! Woo! Hallelujah. In the Spirit, by the Spirit. Well, we continue from here next week. Glory to God. Take 3 minutes. Lift your voice. Thank God for the Holy Spirit.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.